I don't know how, but he's really good at it. I went to like a.
I want to mingle as a job.
I went to like a fancy like X Games. Asked me to go to a thing that's like all the people that own X Games in like a mountain house or whatever, and they're like, just you know, just mingle or whatever. I was like, have you seen me mingle? But okay, I'll try to turn it on for you.
I'm brooding.
Yeah, like I'm the worst.
Just in the back, like
I'll mangle, but I'm not gonna mingle.
Here we go.
And I'm not Tony Hawk.
Hey, everybody, it's Jason Ellis and Tony Hawk, Hawk vs. Wolf, greatest podcast of all time in the history of the universe.
What he said about our podcast, and we have decks that are... of the podcast.
Signed by the greatest skateboarder of all time in the history of the universe and me.
Two decks. Go side by side. Signed by each of us. Right there. Black with silver.
I love this board so much.
Tim Baring art on both of these.
Shout out to Tim. And get yourself one of these bad boys.
Black and silver. Diptych. Available now.
Get one today.
You can get it at TonyHawk.com and in the shop. Right there.
Yeah. Make sure you do that if you haven't.
Thank you.
But Dingo's in there, and I'm like, what's he got to say? You know? Oh, this is Jason. I'm like, dude, don't introduce me to anybody. I don't want them to know that I'm friends with you, but they love him, even when he has no voice. But there was a real rich girl there, and she had one earring with a feather in it, and I had a feathered earring, and I just was like, I really like your earring. And she was like, who the hell is this guy? And then she caught the earring. She was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we became earring friends. And it's probably the first time I've ever befriended somebody who was like, not like me at all. And within a few seconds, she liked me. And her husband was talking to me. He started talking about, like, which side of the ear makes you gay. And I was like, why are you asking me that?
I had that when I was a kid, and I think they put it in the wrong ear. Like, there was, like, was it supposed to be the right one or the left one or something?
In Denmark, is it different?
I don't know, but...
Because Euros are, it's different.
I think I had it in the right one, and then, I was like, yeah, and then I was, like, 7 or something, and I just got the earring. I was all stoked on it, and then, like, the kids at school, they were like, nah.
Wait, did your parents take you in to get an earring?
Yeah. Yeah, I want it.
Don't you have to be? Isn't there a limited age, age limit here?
I don't think there is over there. Yeah, I mean, I took my kid. I mean,
no, I know, girls, not there. I'm just saying here. I'm talking about
in America, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. You guys like rules.
You can circumcise, but you can't pierce an ear, huh?
Wow.
Ooh.
We haven't started yet.
We have, actually. Rude Glifberg is here, everybody.
That was a good start. I like it.
I have to do the one thing that I know.
Yeah. What's that?
I can say hello to him.
Yeah. Well, it's like how I...
Yeah, but I'm that's good. All I know. Yeah. He can say it to me. Say it to me.
What?
Say hello.
In Danish?
Yeah.
But in Golden?
The Golgot.
Yeah. Ah, all right. Even better.
Fine. Oh, yeah. He likes to claim he knows.
I speak many languages. Yeah, I don't actually. I don't know why. Because I don't remember anything, especially from hitting my head a lot, but that one just always stuck. Maybe just because I thought Room was awesome, and I was like, every time I say it, in
he probably But does. Did I teach you that? Or did, like,
hell
did
yeah,
you have
did,
you
dude.
Ever been to Denmark?
The only thing that I remember is to say that.
Oh, you taught him that. Oh, I didn't
Maybe.
Know that. Because
he's
been claiming that for years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you taught it to me, and every time I'd see you, I'd painfully say it to him. He's probably like, oh my God, a Degogat, Jason, you idiot.
But have you been to Copenhagen?
No.
No, you have not?
No.
Yeah,
wait. You must have been there.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My experience with Denmark was hanging out with Nikki Guerrero. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
And this is a non sequitur, but I just wanted to tell you that... you and Nikki both had the same accent.
Uh-huh, right.
You know,
right,
in
yeah.
English.
Yeah.
And then you started skating for Flip.
Uh-huh.
You had an English accent.
And then you had a British accent.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember seeing you at some Europe contest, maybe Munster.
Yeah.
And then you started talking about, I was like, wait, what? How are you talking?
Why do you talk like
on?
That now? Yeah.
Can you still do all of them?
What do you mean?
Well, you like, have, you can
the,
do.
The different accents?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it really just depends on who I'm hanging out with.
So like, you will modify.
I'll like adapt to whoever I'm hanging out with. Like I might get a slight Aussie accent if I go to hang out in Sydney for like a month, you know?
Because you've been there a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can just sort of adapt.
I guess I try. I mean, I don't have an English accent that's like rooted in me as a child, you know?
Yeah.
Other than the silly Danish one.
It's not, there's just like certain the letters Danish and words. Like there's really certain letters flat. And words that are acutely Danish.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where we used to say, you know, Nikki?
You know.
Oh, yeah. How, yeah. Nikki always said everything in a question.
Right, right.
Like, hey, Nikki, how's it going? Good. I don't know. Good.
Australians do that. Australians go high at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, right, right. How are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
I don't know what that is, but it's like, Jace, you're looking pretty sick.
Are you sure?
Am I?
So take us back. How did you start skating?
I had a friend from school. This is 86. It was a classmate of mine, and he had taken a trip to Texas, to San Antonio, I believe. And he came back, and he had a skateboard with him, and it was like, I think it was a Nash. And it had Crusher. Like a, no, it was like, I think it was pink, and it had like some sort of baby on there with like a mohawk, maybe, or like maybe Eric it was like Nash, a, maybe it was like a.
No, and Nash was like a was
saw like blade, a, like a saw blade sort of like mohawk or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like some,
Nash was a brand.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, not, okay. No, not Eric Nash. Okay. It was like a skateboard
like,
brand, right?
Yeah, like it was you, like, I mean, it was like, know, what would you.
A little bit generic, maybe?
But yeah, generic boards.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Like more of.
Like a Kmart style.
Kmart, yeah, Target,
that's
Walmart.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I think I had a Veriflex.
Anyways, he had one of those, brought it back.
Fat board, right?
Yeah, it was wide and had like the right proportions. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Nash yeah, baby, there it is.
Could have been similar to that one. Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, he got back home and had that. And then we started like trying his board. And like we were like, I mean, all we were really doing was like bombing hills. Like I was just like, go down this hill till you couldn't go any faster and then just like fall off.
You guys were sharing the board?
Yeah, basically. And then like, I think like maybe like a month went by or something like that. And then I think my mom bought me like a little toy board, which was like a 70s, like a, you know, like the I guess you'd call it a penny board today. Mm. Like one of those little skinny ones, you know, which wasn't a real skateboard. And then I actually found out that there was a skate park right by my house. So I started going there and was saving up money. I was like 11 at the time. I don't know if I had a paper route or whatever, or maybe it was just like my allowance. I was saving up and like bought a used skateboard off someone up there, which was, I believe.
In Copenhagen?
Yeah. I can't remember the board that it was, but it had like Sim Snake wheels on there and like Snake 2 maybe, I think they were. And
that's surprising that you would be that old school on your setup, because Sim Snakes were...
Yeah, well,
like
the
early
board,
80s.
The board that I bought had like the tail was like this long, like it was thrashed, but it was still better.
It was already super old.
It was like it was pretty thrashed. But I mean, I got that one, and it was an upgrade from the little toy board that I got from the toy store. And then I think saved up a little bit of money from there, and then like changed the deck out to like a Neil Blender board, the Coffee Break, which was nice. Like my first like. Real board, I guess.
Yeah,
that's still a legit board
with the Sim Snakes.
Yeah,
that's pretty sick.
And I remember the first time I had to like switch out. I mean, the bolts were probably like this long or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I had to switch out, and then like I'd finally. I mean, I didn't have the right tools or anything. You know what I mean? And finally, like, got it switched around, jumped on it, and I was like, "What's wrong?" Like. And obviously, I put the truck on the backwards or whatever, you know, I didn't know. And then it was such a, it was like another hour and a half trying to, you know, switch it around. I mean, I figured it out, but on my own, I was like, oh, maybe, you know, like, because I just thought, like, the trucks, like, they would, like, go the same way. I guess that makes sense, like, when you think about it and you don't know, like, that they're supposed to be pointing inward. Yeah, so that was that. And then a few months went by, and then Nikki... Guerrero, who just turned pro in the U.S., Danish skateboarder, legend, he came by that skate park. And,
so was he
and
the
was skating.
First successful skater from Denmark?
Yes, 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 very much so. And the first one, he was like the first one that I saw that was like I didn't even know this stuff was possible. I mean, I was like pumping back and forth and like maybe like doing kick turns and like going off little jump ramps. And then he showed up one day and he's like, I mean, he had back then, I mean, he's like 18 at the time probably. And like, he had that like Christian Osoy kind of swag, you know, like the dark skin and the ripped t-shirt and whatever he was doing, you know what I mean? Style. And he had a car, he had great style. And like, so I was like blown away. And he was like doing airs, he was doing hand plants and like all this stuff that I didn't even know that stuff was possible. I hadn't even seen a skateboard magazine or anything. And then I was like, that's it. I got to get up there and learn that. I mean, obviously I think I knew about drop-ins and stuff like that. But like after I saw him skate, I was like turned on. I was like, whoa.
So you're from an era where you didn't have the magazine yet either.
I started finding them after a while, and I think.
But did you see a magazine before you saw Nikki?
I don't think so.
Right, because that's I can relate to that.
Yeah. It was because I saw what he did, and it was like such an eye over game changer, whatever. That was like, whoa, this, you can do that on a skateboard. Because like up until then, it was like basically like riding down hills. We'd heard about the ollie. I tried to like ollie up the curb and all those types of little things, you know. But yeah. So yeah, that was it.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I guess
that was the start. That's like, yeah.
Were you friends with Nikki when you saw him, or was it just like from afar you saw him skate?
I mean, I was 11 and he was 18, so I mean, it's, you know.
How long until you and Nikki, like, he was like, hey, man, you're ripping, or did it not work?
That was maybe like 3 years later or something like that. I mean, I started seeing him more and more, and I was probably like on his radar somehow, you know what I mean?
Because you were there all the time.
Yeah,
it didn't work.
Yeah, but I wasn't very good, you know? So basically...
what was the first thing you learned where you thought, oh, I'm leveled up here?
I don't know. I think that moment for me like came in 1990. There was a... contest there at the forum, which you'd been to the prior year, 89. Yep. I think you came out and skated that, and it was like a mini ramp event, and Omar Hassan was there and everything, ripping, just like mind blowing. I think he just turned pro for Blockhead, and so at that event, I think I entered and I didn't do very well, but somehow like Jeremy Fox from Flip saw me there and maybe thought that there was something there. That
skating mini ramp.
Mini ramp, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And
because you knew how to skate vert
by
then,
right?
It was like
a midi, like whatever. It's like one of those like bigger, like 80s or 90s like mini ramp.
Like a 7-foot, 8-foot transition.
Yeah, and had some extensions, had a spine and like a big hip and stuff, which was like completely new over there. It was like, what were those? There was a Hawaii one, and then there was the NSA one, which was like a triangle thing.
Sacramento
there was like
one.
All that stuff was kind of coming into play. So it was one of those, and I skated it. Jeremy then, when the contest kind of was over or towards the end, asked me if I wanted to ride for Deathbox. And that was my moment when I was like, wow, I'm good now. I sort of like leveled up or whatever you said, you know, like that, like I instantly felt like, wow.
You had a sense of confidence.
Yeah. I'm like way better now. Yeah. But
what was the Deathbox team at the time? Deathbox, by the way, turned into Flip. You're welcome.
Yeah. It was Pete Dossett, Sean Goff, Alex Moll, Yoki Olson, Rocker. Davey Fenlery, and I think
still a lot of
Mark Van Der Ing.
A lot of ramp skating though.
Yeah. A lot of ramp skaters. This is 1990, so
right.
I guess like it was still. I mean. The vert scene was still somewhat going, I guess, in Europe. Yeah.
If you were his era, you knew it was at the end.
It was the end. Yeah.
for us, you and I were similar in the.
Like, I saw the sky falling.
Yeah, like I was coming up, looking at you guys, like, man, when I turn pro, it's gonna be like I'm getting a Ferrari or something. You know what I mean? Like we're gonna be living it. It's like, oh no, dude, you're nobody cares. Yeah, like, good luck with your future because nobody cares.
Right.
I remember seeing you in your, it was 91, because that was the first time I went there, and it was a ramp that didn't have vert, and I came from a ramp that didn't have vert, and you could do tons of lip tricks, and I was like, check out this guy, and then I think maybe you like ollied into a frontside air, and I was like, oh, because I just thought.
I had the same kind of experience. I feel like the first time I saw you was at Munster.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah,
but I heard about him. Yeah. I heard about this Danish kid that was killing it, and then I was like, oh, he's blasting, and he can do 540s and crazy lip tricks. Yeah,
yeah, fast.
This is happening.
And good style too. Yeah. That was like a. That was still when it counted. You know
getting,
what I mean? Like I know everybody
now.
Is open-minded now, but to me, I was not open-minded at all. When he skated like that, I was like, wow. And then I just remember thinking, there's no way you can do an aerial because you're just too, like this style that he has. I'm like, yeah. He's a mini ramp champ.
It felt that way for a while for my skating. I feel like I was definitely like more like mini ramp style. And like, I mean, the airs definitely wasn't something that I was good at straight away. And right. And like you're saying, I maybe had like a little bit more of this like mini ramp pop into my ears, yeah. Which I had to learn to get away from to like learn the proper like vert techniques. Right.
You definitely have a snap that is born of mini ramp.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Jason.
Yes, Tony Hawk.
Farmer's Dog.
Yeah, I know. They sponsored this podcast.
Yes.
And I'm very grateful.
I'm so thankful. Yeah. My dog wakes up early, gets me out of bed. For Farmer's Dog. Sometimes, like, so early that she goes back to sleep.
I probably shouldn't say this, but I have 5 dogs, and they really enjoy it, and so does my cat. I have to keep pushing him away from it.
Hey, Farmer's Dog isn't just fresh, higher-quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically to your dog. It makes it easy to help your dog maintain their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. Dogs at a healthy weight can live up to 2.5 years longer than overweight dogs.
It helps with their breath and their fur. It's pretty cool.
It doesn't matter if your dog is young or old. It's always the right time to begin investing in their health. That means more happy, healthy, and full years together. My dog was 10 when she started Farmer's Dog, and she
now she's 8. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/hawk.
Plus, you get free shipping. That's thefarmersdog.com/hawk.
Hey everybody, Jason Ellis here, talking to you about Shh Tape. If you sleep, this might be for you. I got a deviated septum. People punch me in the nose a lot, and I don't know what it is, but I'm not a mouth breather when I'm conscious, but as soon as I fall asleep, I am, and I snore. And I don't annoy anybody because maybe my cat doesn't like it, I don't know. But I definitely snore, and sometimes I wake up tired, and my throat sore from snoring, and now that I've got Shh Tape, I don't have to worry about that anymore because it stops me from doing that. Imagine if you were able to wake up feeling more rested without a stuffy nose. Picture yourself being able to wake up without your partner yelling at you for obnoxious and loud snoring. That has happened to me. They are bigger, they are stickier, and they are comfier. Shh Tape knows that you can increase your quality of sleep and they want you to get started as soon as possible. To help, they're giving you a chance to buy Shh Tape for 50% off using code WOLF50 on their website shtape.com. End Shh Sleep tonight with Shh Tape, a better way to mouth tape. Connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at shh_tape and share your success stories. Shtape.com.
It's funny when you see people, especially street skaters, they try to skate vert and they snap like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. I always tell them, like, you have to go up.
Yeah,
like, you're not trying to go out exactly, away from the ramp. Like, you have to think you got to go up, otherwise you end up in the flat.
See, I always thought, because I did the bonk, because I grew up a little maybe before you, and then to tap your tail. Because you already had that. So, like, if you want to flip in and flip into stuff, you're already hitting your tail. For me, I feel like the first couple of kickflip innies I ever tried, like, I bonked.
Right, right.
And I was like, this is not working out. And then to train myself to hit my tail to flip, or even, like, backside tail grab. I remember it was just easier for me to do a giant backside and bonk and grab my tail. And then I was like, it's not right. Like, you got to hit your tail.
It's just not consistent.
You have those massive frontside ollies. I mean, I think that's my first sort of like Jason Ellis.
But he's
sort
bonking on those.
Yeah, like I was totally memory. Bonked.
And that was like the bonk, like the full, like the Planet Earth video, I think. Right. Is that what it is?
Like, yeah, to the point where if you took bonkers, the coping away, like when ramps started to have less coping, I couldn't do them anymore. Because I needed a real hit, you know what I mean? Like to get it to stick to my feet that long.
what I love about seeing RuneScape all these years is you made tricks that were already in existence your own. And I say that in a way that like if you do a heel flip frontside air, it's his.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can tell exactly that it's his style, pushing it out in front of you and landing any of them, but also landing them clean.
Yeah.
And then you were the first person I ever saw do a method stale fish.
Oh, right, yeah.
And that is one of my favorite things still to this day.
Yeah, thank you. It's funny, I was trying them here the other day, and like, I don't know if I'm getting too stiff or too old or what it is, but it's hard now. It's hard to get that.
Yeah, but
like,
you got, I mean, you're snapping everything else. And
yeah, yeah. No, I feel good about my skating still. I mean, obviously, I don't think we can all agree that none of us are as good as we have been at an earlier stage in our career, but it's still, it's fun, and it's like, it's just like coming to terms with just like skateboarding. Like, I'm just skateboarding in a different way now, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If anybody would know, it's this room.
What's that?
I said, if anybody would understand what you're saying, it's this room.
Right.
That could be an ongoing theme to this podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
But I feel like you're still snapping into it. I mean, you're in the Olympics. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And you skated in Tokyo, right?
Yeah, skated in Tokyo.
How sick is that?
Yeah, I don't know if I'll make the Paris one, but
how do you?
Right now,
but maybe not. But maybe you will, though.
You still might. Yeah,
maybe I won't. Yeah, maybe we'll see. We'll see.
But how is that? So this is an interesting perspective because you are one of the few I consider vert skate. I know you're an all around skater, but mainly known as a vert skater.
Yeah, sure.
And you're having to adapt to those small transitions that they're doing the park series on the qualifying.
Yeah.
And I know you're probably focusing on that, but does that feel like a compromise to you?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it definitely like doesn't feel natural for me to skate the smaller stuff now. I mean, I think like as you're getting older, like all this sort of like more like snappy stuff, like skating mini ramps, like everything happens so quick. Mm. Like you get a bigger transition, you got more time to like sort of just like go through the motions of how the trick works or whatever. On like smaller tranny, I feel very stressed and it feels way more dangerous too.
Yeah, I always say it feels like you're being attacked by walls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. You gotta do everything so quick and you gotta have that like heavy like core strength where you can like move and like be all snappy in your movements, you know? And
I love it though. I love that you're going for the qualifications and representing Denmark, and I mean, I think it's so cool and the representation of, in general, our era, within the confines of whatever that is, the park series.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the big motivating factors for me to actually try to qualify for Tokyo. Was I wanted to sort of try to help skateboarding be represented in a natural and true way, you know? I mean, there are so many different skateboarders out there, different styles and everything else, you know, and but also different age groups, you know what I mean? So, I kind of felt like it was important that, you know, that there was people sort of like my age that was represented in the games. Because, I mean, I've always looked up to like, you're like Dwayne Peters, Tony Alva, you know, like yourself or like all the people that came before me, you know, Lance Mountain and like all these types of people. So that's always been inspirational to me. So, I think hopefully, I've helped, also inspire.
I think so. And like, I also think
let people know that you can keep skateboarding. It's not only about winning and all this kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think there's a segment of the viewership that know your name from your legacy, from video games and whatever else. And they're like, oh, I know that dude.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and there's something more familiar and inviting about that than like, here's this 12-year-old dude from Japan you never heard of.
Yeah.
Spinning 720s like and this tiny thing. Yeah, and they're just like, what is that? What is this?
Yeah. And even like when I was like putting my run together, unfortunately I didn't do well like in the actual contest. But the stuff that I've been working on was like, I wanted it to be really representative of me and like the stuff that I had was like known for in the past, mm-hmm. Like the backside ollie to tail, for example. Like
I that had, was the first I had thing that I saw my, you do. That's
had,
right.
Had that in my run, you know, which is a trick. Again, like you said, maybe I mean I've seen you do it a bunch
it's
of times.
It's like yours but too. I sit on it.
Yeah, you do it a little bit, yeah. bit uniquely. You know, like land it on top, like kind of like yeah. almost like a body jar. And I wanted to do crooked grinds, and I had my dream ender was like the switch flip and everything. I had that planned as. I mean, I was going to, like, try to do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be like, okay, I'm just going to, like, cruise, stay on, whatever. I was like, yep. nah, like, I mean, if I get away with this, it'll be crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So I was trying, and I definitely wanted to build a run that was, like, representative of, like, my skateboarding and yeah. have that sort of, like, nostalgia, like, what you're talking about in there, you know? Whereas, like, there might be guys over there. Out there, our age, that would be like, oh yeah, oh my God, he's still doing that trick.
Yeah, well, I saw you doing it in practice, so I knew, yeah. I knew you had it.
Just
I love
not
it.
On the day, unfortunately, I guess.
What was it like? Did you move out here with all the flip
yeah.
crew?
Yeah. Yeah, we came out in 94.
94, and, that's right.
I mean, thanks to your help and everything with Blitz and you and Pierre and helping Flip.
Yeah, those were
from
wild
the
days.
And everything. Yeah,
it was fun though.
And I even remember coming down, staying at your house, me and Andy, Scott, and like skating down here because there was no. Ramps
oh yeah, we're skating
in,
Plan B, right?
Plan B and skated Encinitas. The Y a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Uh huh. Because there was, I mean, we came out and we had a place to live up in Huntington Beach, and. But there was no vert ramps up there at that time.
Right.
So me and Andy would come down here and skate down here. So yeah, we came out the original team, like me and Tom, Andy, and it was very interesting to come out at that time.
But then there was a vert ramp in Huntington Beach, right? Because that became your thing.
Well, Tony built one. Volcom was later, but Tony built the Birdland.
Okay.
Yeah, Irvine, Costa Mesa area. And
yeah, that one got yeah. busy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And very slippery.
Yeah, that's maybe why I didn't local that. Slippery is not
that was
cool,
fun, huh? though. It was fun to have finally a ramp of our own.
Yeah.
I
mean, that was a good ramp for me. I mean, that was a ramp I learned, like, kickflip backside lip slides on. And,
yeah.
Like, that, I mean, that ramp meant a lot to me, for sure. Like, I mean, I'd maybe skate it more than you did, because you were still, I mean, you were living down
I would,
here,
yeah,
as
I would,
always.
It was hard for me to, yeah. I mean, it was almost an hour away, but at yeah. the same time, it was worth it.
I mean, we were there every night, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, like, when I wasn't out street skating with whoever friends I was hanging out with in the daytime up there, like, we'd go.
Yeah, they were crazy sessions. Remember Tom Penny?
Yeah,
the frontside
flips? I was
flips?
Just going to say, like, yeah, bring Tom over to the ramp, and, like, Muska, and, like,
Tom
whatever.
Penny would do... Front kick, oh,
yeah.
Front side ollie kick.
Everybody
flips.
Knew, dude. Even
what's that?
I did.
Like 3 or 4 feet out, yeah, no pads.
That was yeah. when it was like, what are we all doing?
Yeah,
we were all kickflip into stuff.
But
some
also, he's just there as a tourist. Like, he's just there yeah. hanging out with everyone else that's skating vert. It wasn't yeah. even it wasn't his incentive to go there and skate vert.
Right.
He's just like, oh, I
he
guess
he could
I'll
do
skate.
That anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he was
yeah.
like, okay, there's a lot of vert on this mini ramp. I'll still do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember day one could skate vert too. I skated him at Ventura with him. And I remember his board, before he dropped in, his trucks were wobbling, like just on the
deck.
Oh,
yeah.
And I was like, is that how loose yeah. your trucks are? Are you going to drop in right now? And he's like, yeah, what's the big deal? I'm like, you'll find out in a minute. And then, no, he didn't. He just did, like, blunts on there and everything. And I was like, how can you ride that?
Yeah, he has the loosest trucks ever.
Right?
I think he's, like, missing the top bushing or something like that.
Probably. I mean, the guy does tricks where he takes his freaking board apart.
One guy was skating here yesterday with us, and he was saying that the ramp was slippery. And I was like, I don't think the ramp's slippery. And then
yeah.
I watched him chop in. It's because his trucks were crazy
loose.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
His theory was that it's slippery.
What's that?
His theory that was the
yeah, he's like,
the
ramp's slippery. I'm like, I think it's yeah. pretty good. It used to be more slippery, and then I watched it up, and he's just like skidding across the bottom.
Yeah, you just like, got that new surface. So. It feels pretty grippy to me.
How are you on the streets?
Not good these days.
Right, because there comes a time, right?
Yeah, but I still dabble. I still enjoy, like, you know, rolling around on the streets, but definitely, like, most of my tricks are gone, and the pop especially is like, I don't know, like
I feel
can't
like,
really yeah, like lift my board
I,
very
I,
high.
I
mean,
I
could probably
say,
ollie that
I'm
table,
way ahead
but
of you on that.
That's about it.
That's
like,
pretty
you know
decent,
I mean? Like,
man.
I'd be able to ollie over that. I'm pretty sure I could ollie over that.
Yeah.
But
that's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what is it, like knee high or something? But it's like, I mean, I've when I was younger, I mean, I mean, I'd always some high stuff, and I had like some switch stuff and whatever. I felt like I was, I mean, I could kind of like hold my own in the street session, you know, and like go out and do some backs of tail slides on ledges and stuff like that. And, you know, so.
Yeah, I remember you doing a rail, like it was one of those real gradual sort of wheelchair ramp rails.
Uh-huh.
So high. And then he just snaps up to it, board slides the whole thing. I was like,
no.
Dude.
Yeah, so it's definitely different now, but it's fun. It's definitely fun.
But that having that background has helped you do all the other stuff that you can do on vert.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I grew up skating, like you said before, you know, like vert was on the way out, so I wanted to like street skate more, and I kind of wanted to be a street skater, street pro maybe. I just wasn't very good, you know, or like not as good as everyone else at least.
Because your legs are already a little vert.
Yeah, they were. Cursed, I mean, well, the vert just. It. I mean, the vert stuff just came way more natural. So, so I started gravitating towards that. But, I mean, I always tried to skate street, and then the vert stuff that I was into was very much inspired by Danny Way and Colin McKay.
Right.
Probably like. Maybe like most vert skaters at the time, you know, like how they were skating, like flipping their boards, no grab, and like skating the lip kind of like a ledge a little bit, you know, and like no slides, crooked grinds. Like,
well, they were like the only vert guys that could skate street and not look like they were vert guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so to street guys, I'm sure that they looked a little weird, but to me, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. No, they both put down some
right,
like, bangers on street.
For yeah, sure. Well, I was like, you're the same as all the good street dudes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I very much wanted to kind of skate like that a little bit, but so I knew that street skating was kind of the key to kind of have that have those elements in your skating, and
Oh, but hey, mate,
Jason.
Yeah, Tony.
You know, men spend twice as long on the toilet as women.
Do they?
Yeah, scrolling their phone and sometimes it can cause.
Hemorrhoids. Yeah, it's not good to sit on there.
It's not
good. I sit on one cheek.
Yeah?
Yeah, just to not even, like, go close to that. I'm always on an angle. I stay on an angle.
You're, like, always ready to...
I'm never on both cheeks when I'm doing number two.
All right, well, you know that Tushy Bidet can help you with that because... Yeah,
I do know. Yes. I've got one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have to wipe because you can squirt water around it.
Yeah, I mean, you need to wipe once. You don't have to wipe repeatedly, and it's not painful because it's not dry.
I go from one side when I squirt the water, one side, then I rotate over to the other side.
Cover all bases.
Yep.
The Tushy Bidet cleans your butt with a targeted stream of fresh water, eliminating the need for painful wiping.
Yeah.
Or repetitive wiping.
Yeah. No, just a couple of squirts and Bob's your uncle.
It cleans your bum
two times better
and gentler than wiping.
Than wiping TP alone. Yeah. Stop wiping until you bleed. Join the 3 million butts who have already made the switch to Tushy. For a limited time, our listeners get 10% off your entire order when you use the code HAWK.
At checkout.
That's 10% off your order at Hello. HELLO Tushy TUSHY.com with the promo code HAWK.
When you moved out, when you guys came out with the Flip Crew, I mean, I know it was a big push, and it was very much like, this is, we're establishing ourselves here, and this is our career. Did you feel like that was what the goal was, or did you think it was more temporary?
Yeah, I thought it was very temporary. I was like, if I can be here in the States for just like a couple of years, then I'll be super stoked like that.
Oh, really?
You know, like for me, it was like just an opportunity to go and travel. And but it quickly became apparent that, you know, Flip as a company had something going, you know.
Right.
The company grew very fast. And yeah, I think like maybe after being here for a few years, like. I remember I had bought a car, a brand new car.
Did you buy a car and you couldn't drive stick and you bought a stick shift?
No, I bought an automatic.
What's that story?
I don't know.
Can you drive stick?
Yeah, of course.
Have you always been able to?
No, because I didn't have a license when I came out here. So when I learned to drive, it was out here.
Okay.
And yeah, so anyways.
I just remember someone told me he bought a BMW and it was stick and he couldn't drive it.
No, that's not a true story.
I'm pretty sure.
Because I think it was Danny. Because Danny was trying to tell me, because I was a car guy. And he's like, dude, you got a stick, can't even drive a stick. And I was like, that's impossible. Nobody would go to the car dealership and not see the stick and be like, yeah, and test drive it.
I'll take it.
So that didn't happen.
Okay. I have rented a car before whereas I didn't really know how to drive a stick, but like that was like way before that, and that was like back home in Denmark. I rented a car back home, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I'll figure this out. Good way to learn. Rent a car."
Was anybody like Danny or something a witness to it?
No. Oh my god,
Danny, you were talking smack. Somebody, yeah, I was having a good old laugh about it, and it didn't even happen. That
like it's
sucked.
Some wild rumor going around.
Well, that must have been when I brought my...
It was you and Danny.
It was like two motor skate dudes that were like, what do you mean he can't drive stick?
Well, it must have been when I bought my M3. But anyways, I bought a 328 IS before then. It was an automatic.
Yeah.
And I remember buying that, and I was thinking like, well, and this is 97. And I remember thinking like, okay, well, if this skateboard career fails and everything else, like at least like I'll be able to like take this car and like bring it back home, and then I'll have like something like a memory or like something to show for it or whatever. Like that'll be my like, yeah, at least like I got out of you know, this car out of it. You know what I mean? Like
don't ruin the fantasy.
Yeah. So
you can't, because I used to always
can ship it home.
It costs so much.
It costs a lot.
Yeah, maybe. But at least like that was my thought process as far as like how long was I going to be in the States?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? And like, how long was skateboarding going to last?
I always thought I was going to buy an old Mustang and bring it back to Australia, because Mustangs in Australia don't exist. And you can buy one here that's not that great, that's old, for like $5,000. And it's like $20,000 in Australia immediately. And I was like, that's going to be my business. Like, I'm just going to buy Pontiac Firebirds. And then Mustangs and all those, and bring them back and sell them. And then that's when I found out that it's, they're like, oh yeah, you know, you can ship it back for $20,000. And I was like, wait, that would make it not work
profitable.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think you do it for cheaper now, but yeah, but yeah.
And then the conversion, you have to convert it or have a license.
It's all the import stuff.
The steering wheel on the other side. There's that thing. Are you guys on the right side or the wrong side?
No. What do you mean by right?
I'm American. Left side, which is the right side.
All right.
Right.
They're on the right side.
You're on the right side.
Yeah. We're on the right side, which is the left side.
Only my background is on the wrong side.
Yes. Yeah. We're not. We don't have inches and feet and all this kind of stuff. We don't drive on the wrong side of the road. We don't have the British influence that. The Australian.
That's the wild thing when you're driving in Europe, and like you take the channel.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're in France.
Yeah.
Drive on the right side. Get out of the channel. Okay, you're on the left now.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, I was that, like, if I spent a long time in America and then I'd come back and, I'd be like, rent a car. And then I'd go out onto the road. And I remember more than one time as I'm leaving the rental car place, I'm like, where I need to see a car.
Yes.
I'm so I'm like, I'm not taking off until I see somebody else on the road. Yeah. I'm like, right, he's on that side. Good.
The trick is to remember to always place yourself as the driver towards the center of the road.
Yeah, I've already forgot that.
Yeah. Well,
were you on the trip when we all flew to England? And it was Birdhouse and Flip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were on the trip, and then I had to rent the passenger van. Do you remember that? It was for the Northampton contest,
yeah,
right?
Maybe we arrived at different stages of that trip, but we did do a trip together with the Birdhouse and Flip, and with Zitzer and Reynolds and Sumner and
Sumner, Zitzer, maybe even Fraser was on. I'm not sure, but I feel like you were there, and at least Jeff Rally, maybe Tom Penny.
Yeah.
Because there were so many of us that we had to rent a passenger van, you know, the big one.
Yeah. I think we had two, actually. Was it two?
Well, maybe. I only knew this one because Jeremy Fox and Ian assigned me to be the tour father or whatever of this crew. And they rented this van for me, and it was a stick shift. And it, like, I flew to England. I'm all of, I don't know, 29 or something at the most. And I flew to England, and then they're like, oh, here's the rental car. It's a standard transmission, and you're driving on the left side.
Yeah. And that gets really funky. So you have to shift over here, and the gearbox is like...
Yeah, so I'm always going from first to fourth.
First is all the way out, like the far reach out. Like, it's really tricky.
I
always
punch the door, because wherever I was driving... Like, if it's on this side and then I get to the other country, it's on that side.
Yeah.
And my habit is to reach for it while I'm shifting.
Oh, because
instead of reaching for it, I kept my hand on
it just to make sure that I knew it was there.
Right.
But I kept pulling it towards me, like going first to second, I would go first to fourth. But the reason I said that is because I don't know if everyone felt the sense of danger.
That you did?
That I felt that I was putting everyone's lives at risk, like suddenly. And also, we're going to Radlands, right?
Yeah.
We don't know where to go. We don't have a map.
Right.
We're following signs to Northampton.
Yeah, sure.
And then we get into town and we just start pulling over on the street and asking people, like, where's the skate park?
Yeah.
I think it's down there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt so inequipped.
Yeah. Hey, so same trip. Dave Duncan had a rental car or something like that. He was following us or something. I remember like looking out the back, like we're getting off or something, and he almost got smoked by like a big old truck. Actually, I think it was like coming on to the freeway. Like, and he almost got killed on that one. Anyways, luckily he didn't.
But we're here.
And we made it.
Well, I'm glad you didn't feel the threat.
No.
Or the peril.
No, I would have been oblivious to any threats at that stage in my life, I think. Like, just going along with whatever happened.
That was fun because, I mean, also because we were all together, so it was cool that it was sort of that variety of skaters. But also it was like just the Euro competition schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was Radlands, and then it was... Munster, and there was that one in Copenhagen. And,
yeah,
and
well, I think I remember like we were in Amsterdam. In Amsterdam, I think we probably went from Northampton to Amsterdam to Munster, and then I know a bunch of us went up to Copenhagen because that's where that Reynolds footage is of him skating my old local skate park in Copenhagen, and there's also like footage of Sitzer skating the vert ramp there and stuff like that, like the same one that Nikki's skating in the propaganda video, I think it is. And then a few years earlier, we were in Le Grand Bonheur, and I think Jason wants to maybe talk about that.
He has. We've
covered it.
You've already covered that one?
Yeah. So it's okay.
Okay, good. That was my first pro contest, by the way, up there in the mountains.
Really?
Yeah, that was, I think that was 91, I think.
Yeah,
and,
it was.
Was there an AM...
I don't think that was. I think it was all pro. And I remember like Cab was there. That's when he was like doing like really good 540s and stuff. And,
how'd you do?
I don't think I did well. I would have been like whatever, like bottom half somewhere. Yeah. But I wasn't pro. I hadn't turned pro yet. They didn't turn me pro till 92, I think. So it was just like entering, like it was, I was there entering the contest.
Do you remember Sluggo on the trampoline?
No, but I remember Craig Johnson getting his dreadlocks stuck in the lamp in the bar and just like ripping his dreadlock and ripping the whole lamp like and the cord and everything
all the way
off,
around the wall.
Off out of the wallpaper.
We were.
I love how you guys both have a vivid memory of it.
Because he was the last scary person in skateboarding. Like, he was like a guy that really drank. Like, you know, like he was in a rock and roll band, him and Steve Schneer.
I was going to say Schneer was
and I
there
remember,
too.
Like, I remember Steve Schneer could not do like an aerial to save his life. And I was like, I don't know about this guy. But then when he was hanging out with Craig Johnson, I was like, oh, okay, this guy's a beast. Because anybody who's friends with Craig Johnson is immediately a beast. Like they get an approval rating of 10 out of 10 straight away. And then he's playing pool. And I remember like hanging out, like we're all having beers. I'm excited to be around these legends. And then his hair caught on fire. And he had like a hissy fit about it. And I was like, oh, whoa. Because he had like he had it all bundled up. So it stuck up.
He used to cut a hole in his helmet.
In his helmet and had it out.
Because
he didn't care if he hit his head. Because that's what a real skateboarder did.
But it's wild because he was already like 6'3 or something.
Yeah. And he was a giant person for a skateboarder.
He was 8 feet tall.
And he's all hairy and stuff. And he had like pads that were way too big for any human. Like, so just great. Had, like, elbow pads that I could have put on my knees and they still would have been too big.
It's like the big pro design, like yeah. the real big ones.
Yeah, like extra long. Yeah, the extra like, long
ones. Because they're from Texas, so they had to represent.
Yeah, he pro did design. It well. Do you think he had the sticker that said everything's bigger, too? Like, he was yeah. all about it.
Don't
like
mess a, with Texas.
He always had a cooler full of beer, like, yeah. At all times, oh, like, yeah. at the contest. I'm like, nobody's drinking. Like, do you want
to
water?
I was a fan. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. I mean, those older guys at the time or whatever definitely made, like, a huge impression, I yeah. think, on our younger generation, yeah. like the younger pros that was at that event. And or, like, any event
ever. You had to drink.
Time, I think, you know.
Like, yeah. aggressively. Or don't stand near him, or he'll point you out for not drinking aggressively.
right.
But when he pulled that cord out of the wall.
Yeah, that was insane.
That was like, are we all going to jail? Because they all know we're with him. You know what I mean? Right. Like, we're all associated.
Well, they did bring in the National Guards towards the end of
yeah.
that.
Now, we're not going to do the night, story, yeah. but yeah.
Okay, did, all right. Well, we did anyway, I guess, yeah.
He did do a thing that was like one of the first times I've ever seen anyone that I knew be a complete maniac. Like, not a kind of maniac, a full legit madman. I was like, this guy's a real life madman. Like, he does not care.
Hey everybody, this podcast is sponsored by Outer Known. It's a clothing company Kelly Slater owns. Man, Kelly Slater knows stuff. Not only does he make a really good man-made wave, but he also makes some sick clothing. I am what you would call an anal retentive clothing wearer. I don't like stuff. I don't like people's crap on me. So I got stuff and I thought maybe I'd wear a t-shirt or a jacket. I have every single thing on that they make right now, and I don't hate it at all. It's comfortable, and I like the t-shirt, and I'm very anal retentive when it comes to t-shirts. These t-shirts are good. I got the jeans on. I love the jeans. And then I never even thought that I would like jackets like this, but I really like it. It's like really comfy, and it's a little bit cold outside because I get cold easy, and I don't hate this at all. I wear it. I didn't even know I was doing this read today. I was just wearing it. They fit great, and they're made from quality materials, so they last a really long time. And if you're like me, and you just slammed it really hard and got knocked out, my brain's not working very well, but my clothes look great. Outer Known is committed to going further in their efforts to protect the environment. 95% of what Outer Known makes is organic, recycled, and regenerated. Go to outerknown.com today and enter the code WOLF at checkout and you'll get 25% off your full price order. That's outerknown.com, OUTERKNOWN.com. And remember to use the code WOLF at checkout and get 25% off. Check them out today, outerknown.com. And don't forget to use the promo code WOLF for 25% off.
But you were there as like a rookie.
Yeah, yeah. I would have been
and
like
very impressionable.
16, I think, at the time. 19. And I was like, I was traveling with Ryan Moynihan and some of the rest of the you know, Deathbox team, and he had like sort of transplanted to Europe and had gotten the pro board on Deathbox, which was a European company. And so a lot of the Americans wasn't very happy with that. Like, they were like, oh, he's a traitor and all this stuff. So there was like a big sort of like hate thing going on Moynihan at this contest. So like a lot of people were like, you know, like kill Moynihan, like
so
all this stuff.
Strange.
And that was like the guy that I was like that was like the guy that I was under his wing, like who I was traveling with, like in the van. Like he was the one that was supposed to like kind of take care of me or whatever. So it was a crazy.
Yeah, I had
time,
to kill Moynihan, and I didn't even know why.
right. But it's so
I was
weird.
Just convinced
like, it was so
like,
second.
I had
like,
to do it.
The skating scene was so tiny.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
That anyone is concerned about. Well, he rides for European company. I was like.
No, out of anybody on the planet, who has the most in common? Us. But no, I hate 75% of you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
It's
that.
Like we all came from other countries to be skateboarders.
Yeah.
But I hate like pretty much half of them. Like, what is wrong with you? Well, that took a long time to get that answer.
Well, I think skateboarders can be pretty snobbish in a way, like still, like but even like more so like back in the day.
So I was going to say, don't you think they're friendlier now though?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I mean, I've seen, I didn't see it firsthand, but I've seen your documentary and everything, and kind of like heard about all these things, like even like the earlier, like 70s or 80s pros, like the generation before yourself, like how they would, you know, treat the younger guys coming into the to the scene. So I think it's probably lightened up all the way through to now, you know what I mean? Like,
no one's giving you advice, let's put it that way.
More friendly, you know?
Right. And now it's I feel like it's only it's advice. Better. It's better. You think it's still a little harsh?
I think that if you were in the weeds,
right?
Because
I'm not in the weeds.
With the crews and stuff, you would definitely feel that.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's pretty natural. I think, I mean, it's kind of like, I hate to say it, but it's kind of a little bit like human nature or like animal instinct. Like it's like the older lions in the pack. Like, they're not gonna just like let the young, you know what I mean? Like lions come in and like take over or whatever. And I think that maybe like in a lot of people's position, as older pro skateboarders, you kind of maybe feel a little bit threatened by these younger guys that are ripping and coming in. And it takes a little time to, I think, like come to terms with that, as a person, where it's like, well, I had to figure it out for myself. I have to figure out, like, I'm no longer competing against these guys. I'm skating and happy with what I'm doing, but I know that these guys are, if not already better than me, they're gonna be better than me. So it's like, just accept that and, like, you know,
be
skate
happy for
because
them.
Yeah, be happy that you're still here and still skateboarding. I mean, I feel very blessed to still have a skateboard career at you know, like 49.
I feel like
50 this year, you know. And so it's, I think that's pretty normal that
oh, for sure,
for things like that to happen, and for older guys to be like, nah, fuck this kid or whatever, you know.
Yeah you're right, because there was a time
you've managed to keep that. You always managed to keep a positive perspective on all of it, even through the chaos and bullying and whatever. So I feel like you probably had that. I feel like you probably already had that perspective where it's like, okay, this is, you know, there are cliques, and there is, I don't know, whatever, there's animosity in some places, but you never fell into it.
Right. Well, I think, like, also, like, just being sort of a like a transition skater, you kind of knew that you were never going to be the coolest guy in skateboarding. You know what I mean? Like, so like, that's like another thing where you just kind of like, yeah, it's like, I am who I am. I'm just like really just happy to be here and still be a part of it, and you know, get recognition from, you know, sponsorships or other skaters, and like even street skaters. I mean, what I think those are the warm, the compliments that hit me the most is like when, like, certain street skaters, like, you know, like, tell me that they appreciate me.
You are one of the few
then
that
I'm
gets
like,
props from,
wow,
street skaters.
Really, like, that is insane that you're hyped on my skating. You know,
there,
I mean?
I would say there are only a handful of people that do have that crossover appeal. Definitely you, like Danny, Jimmy Wilkins.
Yeah.
Like every street skater loves Jimmy Wilkins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course.
But I agree, because you do have a more tech approach, but you can do it with style, and that those two things are hardly coexistent.
And speed too.
And speed, yeah.
Like to get a lot of high out of a frontside grind, it's weird how many people don't do it.
Well, that was always Miller to me. Like, I don't know if that's the same contest, but like, sorry to cut you off, by the way. But anyways,
you're a guest.
That was Miller for me. Like, and I think that was that same year that we're talking about, 91, is when I saw Miller for the first time skating in Munster. And it would be like across the whole ramp, a massive frontside nosebone right on the corner of the ramp, looking off like death drop down.
His 50-50 deserved like the score of a 540.
Yeah, and he'd like backflip the whole width of the ramp and then do a massive air, you know? So that combination of like using the width of the ramp and then going super high right out of it, that was, I saw that and I was like, that's cool.
Me
like,
too.
That's how I want to skate too.
Me too.
Know? So this like doing like a good back tail slide and then doing a big air out of it, or things like that. Just generally, at least looking at contests, but I think there's like a lot of lip tricks missing in modern.
I mean, there are very few people that can get away with just crooks to fakie on vert. Get away with making it look good or making it functional, and you have it.
Well, there's doing it to stay on in a contest, and then there's doing it and having, this is so cheesy, but like having meaning to it. You know, like, I'm not just doing it to say that I did it. I'm I'm making this the best version possible.
I agree.
You're the difference, dude. I got stuck in like doing a couple of things the best way possible. You did new progressive stuff, but also made those the best way possible.
Yeah, like you just said, I think for me, it was important to like do it and be able to like do it into another trick.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you're not just doing it as like that's your trick, but it's like you have to figure out a way to like
make it functional.
Yeah, when make you it functional do it, and mix them together with other.
When
tricks.
You push one like that, it makes it harder to make it consistent. And I get why people are, if I do it a short version, I'm going to make it more often in my ride, and then I can put like two of these little ones together versus I'm just going to plow the whole side of the ramp on this one. There's more chance of falling off on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And you don't want to fall off. Like contest, you fall off. It is over. Like there's no, you let me jump back on and like do something crazy afterwards. No, dude, that run is done. So I get it.
What has been the most surprising or overwhelming part of being a pro skater? Unexpected.
Sitting here right now, like not this moment, this podcast with you two, but like being a part of skateboarding still.
Yeah,
is kind of what I mean by it. You know, is totally unexpected. Like I mean, I just told a story about thinking about buying a car and like thinking, oh, if I can bring back home this car, that'll be at least I'll have like something to show for my skateboard career. That was like nearly 30 years, that's like more than 25 years ago,
right?
You know what I mean? So like the fact that I'm still here, still skateboarding.
Don't you have a car sponsor?
Yeah, well there you go, there's another answer to your question, right? That's unexpected,
right?
You know what I mean? So like all these crazy things that are that have happened throughout my career, you know, the video game and all
what
that
about designing thing. Skate parks for your
yeah that's
your country
yeah that's another thing that I probably wouldn't
well, you're an architect right
yeah sure yeah I guess yeah.
You are just yeah yeah,
yeah
you are
yeah,
yeah yeah I guess yeah
that's pretty awesome, dude. I saw that video and I was like, no way.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, great representation for Denmark.
Trying to pass stuff on and I didn't say be a positive influence, but at least like, you know, like leave a mark or like make something so there's other stuff for kids, you know, like make
you're
the
giving
world
kids
better.
The opportunity that yeah. you that this life that you're living right now, making skate parks like that and doing skating at your level at your age for this amount of time, you're creating these other kids that are going to have a better opportunity than you got, because let's face it,
yeah,
what you started skating, what you were riding was, versus the skate park that you have built for your people, it's pretty impressive, dude.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a big deal.
I heard a story, and I don't know the context of it, but when we first did the video game, and you were one of the first on the roster, I think you were with someone else, I'm not sure who, but everyone was kind of having a party, celebrating, signing contract, whatever. And there was a part of me that was concerned that everyone felt like this was going to represent skating and themselves well. And I don't know how the story actually went, but I know that it was you who said it, where everyone was kind of like, yeah, it's cool. Let's, you know, let's hope for the best. And then Rune says something like, well, I trust Tony. Like, here we go.
Yeah,
and that meant a lot. I mean, yeah. I remember someone said it in a way that was like, no, you don't understand. Like everyone was like worried, and then Rune was just like, no, man, let's go, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean,
smart.
You're obviously.
It meant a lot because it was a big risk. I mean, Costin didn't do the first game,
because
he didn't know how it was going to be taken or represented.
Sure,
but you were in, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, and you know what? I have to ask you a question since we're on here now, because I get this question asked a lot and I can't remember, because people always ask me like, how did you get involved with the game, or how did you get chosen, or whatever, like how did that come about? Do you remember, like, how did you choose the people?
Well, it was definitely my picks.
Yeah.
I was trying to kind of represent all styles of skating.
Right.
The one thing I regret about all that is being more inclusive, because you know, Alyssa was only female, Cream's only person of color, but that was kind of a microcosm of the representation of skating at the time as well. I mean, but I could have been more forward in that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was just more like, here are all the skaters that I think represent the best of what we do.
Yeah, Yeah, and like the stat meter was cool too, because it was like everyone. Could
yeah, well, I mean that was arbitrary, like, but
no, yeah, but kids
love
that.
I thought that was great. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because they were different styles of skateboarding. Like
you know, saying. The idea that we had someone that was more well rounded with Vert.
Yeah.
And then there was like Bucky is Vert.
Right. Right.
And then you know, and everyone had their own. Everyone had a unique personality.
Sure. Sure.
Muska, Kareem, and so right, it just right. felt like yeah. it felt like there was it was really well rounded.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And of course I'm you know stoked on including people that I skate with, like you guys, Flip,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah. Sure, sure. Yeah, and I guess there was a sort of a more worldly representation there too, like we're like me being from Denmark.
I like to think Jeff so. Yeah,
from,
I mean
from the UK and
when you
was
think
Bob
about
in the
it,
first one too.
What's that?
Was Bob in the first one?
Yeah,
yeah. Him being from Brazil, so there was like I guess.
But when you think about it now, especially you look at that roster,
yeah,
almost everyone still skates.
I know. Yeah.
Well,
it's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Alyssa just got yeah. the cover of Thrasher.
I know. Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah,
amazing.
You, yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah. You, well, thank you for all that. And like,
well,
but
thanks
yeah,
for,
you,
thanks
you,
for
you,
believing in
you,
it.
You, yeah, you picked them well. But yeah, it's funny. Like, I always like main, when I get do mainstream interviews or something like and that comes up there, and I always like, so how did it come about? And I don't remember. It's like, did Tony call you? Like, what happened? Like, and I, can,
who did call
I
you?
Totally I, probably, I must have called
remember.
You.
Yeah, maybe. I don't
for
know.
Sure.
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
I would have to call. What was the house you guys lived at?
We had the flip house, but
the flip house. I would call the flip late, house, yeah. and it's like, yeah. hello, some British accent would answer.
Yeah,
I don't obviously. Know who it is. Yeah. I'm like, hey, it's Tony. This room there.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how it went down.
So yeah. you did call him directly,
for sure. Yeah,
and say, hey, man, do you want to be in the game?
Yeah,
yeah.
I got everyone's approval face to face. I mean, you know, it wasn't just like, it wasn't just me telling Activision, go get these guys.
Right.
It was very much like, this is my, right. you know, passion.
You got
project.
Approval from sure, them sure. and then you went to Activision and said, I got these guys.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was a different stage of my life. I'm sorry, I don't remember that specific call, but it's like, but, and also like, I don't think either, at the time, like, I don't think we, well, you didn't, I didn't know it. No one had any idea of like how significant of a, like a phone call that would be or like how big the game would be, you know what I mean? Like what it would all like come to and everything, you know? So that's maybe like why it's not like embedded in my brain.
Oh, you know no, I
mean?
Like,
just like
expect
how
you
like turning pro or like getting sponsored for the first time or something where I felt like at the time that, well, this is like a monumental moment, you know?
No, it was awesome. And then we did Huck Jam.
Yeah.
You did Huck Jam 1 year?
Yeah, 1 year. But another thing that you, going back to the cars, another thing that you turned me on to was very early on, we went and did those weird demos with like, there was like, it was like the guy from that did Snoopy.
Oh, whatever. Team Rollerblade.
Yeah, the Team Rollerblade and all that stuff. And you put me on to that. And we went up to, I think it was like Santa Rosa. Yeah, Santa Rosa or something like that. Like did demos for up there for like 2 weeks or something. It was like a choreographed thing, kind of like pre-Huck Jam, but like, I mean, nowhere near as cool as Huck Jam, but like, I guess you could, similar.
Go ahead. I'll explain it. You go ahead.
I got one. Anyways, made $1,500 on those 2 weeks or whatever. And that's how I bought my very first car.
Really?
In America, yeah. It was a like an old Ford Granada off those demos. So thank you. So it's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. Sorry. Yeah.
No. I was just going to explain what it was. Yeah, it was Jill Schultz is the daughter of Charles Schultz, who created Peanuts, Snoopy.
Oh, okay.
And he owned an ice rink.
Yeah.
And she was an ice skater.
Yeah.
And then she started rollerblading because it was pretty
makes
easy
sense.
Extension of,
yeah.
of. And then she would bring the rollerblade team to town to do demos because that's when inline rollerblading was huge, right?
Yeah.
And then they decided they wanted to mix it up a little bit. So 1 year they hired Matt Hoffman as the special guest because they're doing ramp stuff and halfpipe stuff.
Okay.
So it was like Team Rollerblade Live featuring Matt Hoffman.
Yeah.
And then that went well. So then the next year they invited me. So it was Team Rollerblade Live with Matt Hoffman and Tony Hawk.
But you brought skateboarders.
No, and then because that went well and skating was starting to pick up against skateboarding was starting to come back around, then they allowed me to invite other skaters.
Okay.
So that's the evolution of that. Probably not many. It was probably...
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who would have been other skaters besides you, us two, but...
It might have been just us.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Just two of you. But then you had to do stuff synchronize stuff with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
different segments.
That always came easy to me. I don't know why.
You didn't push it too hard? Because you've done doubles your whole life. Well,
it's just more, and I want to, like, Rooftop was doing those demos.
Yeah, maybe.
I know he had a BMX guy too.
Yeah, so it started to get a little more equal in the representation.
Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of us figuring out routines, it was always just kind of like, okay, you go over, I go under. You know what I mean? It wasn't anything crazy or super technical.
Yeah.
It was just more like, we have to hit these spots.
Okay.
And then...
No close calls?
From that, maybe.
Yeah,
probably. always potentially.
I know, that's why I asked.
But from that, and doing the Olympics closing ceremonies, which was 96.
96, I think, yeah. It would
have been 96. I learned Atlanta. To sort of help create routines, and somehow... In 96, they just handed me the... Because we're working out a routine with the skaters.
Yeah.
And then they're like, here, you take the mic and you figure out how you guys all do stuff together. So and then I had to be in charge of all the skateboarding, BMX, and inline.
Yeah.
And how we all go over and under and bypass each other.
Yeah.
Like that. But that's what led to Huck Jam. And then when we were in Huck Jam, it was like, hey, this is the best version of all that.
Yeah. And where you really push it.
Going off. Yeah. Yeah. It's not just over and moto under. And
yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
It was wild. I mean, yeah. It was really like, I can't believe we did that every night.
Yeah.
When I look back on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of travel and a lot of fun, like in the bus. It's like full on rock star thing. Yeah. Like on the tour buses. And I mean, there was like, what, like, I mean,
13 six, trucks.
Yeah, I was going to say like
13
like
trucks, two tour buses.
Two, yeah, okay. But also there was the crew buses, too, that would go ahead, right? So it was just like two tour buses for, like, the people in the show. The but skaters, there was, like, BMXers, all the people riders, around it were, like, getting, you know, driven around, too.
It was full on. Too. It was full on. And you got hurt.
Yeah.
Along the way. He bounced off our version of the Mega.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What do you mean bounced off? Like... Hit the coping.
I did a 360. It was like set up to where we were like flying over the vert ramp like this way, you know? So you're flying over the vert ramp and then like the landing kind of just got a little sideways and then just like fell into, you know, on the rib.
Like
the side on the rib.
The landing, but like and then on the flat.
You know what I mean? Like the worst spot you can fall in. You
the
know
impact.
What I mean? Like right at the end of the bank.
Right.
Like, so you just like impact straight into the ground.
What kind of an injury was that?
Some broken ribs and like I tapped my head and was pretty close to being knocked out. I think I was definitely like dizzy, but yeah.
But you didn't, I mean, it was the tour was, I don't know, 6 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And he was just out for a week, still traveling.
Yeah.
You know, and we're filling in the spots and then he just came back in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of
bruised and battered.
Yeah.
Not that what we expected, but it was definitely, it was par for the course.
Yeah.
Sounds like it with all those people jumping each other every night.
Yes.
How's that not going to happen, you know?
It was fun. I remember we did a show in Vegas and me and Serge had gone out gambling a little bit one night and Serge went home and I was kind of down a little bit and I was like, I'm going to just stay a little bit. And then, like, I ended up staying all night till, like, 5 in the morning and ended up winning, like, 12 grand. I was sitting there gambling, playing blackjack by myself.
Yeah, 12 grand? Yeah,
it was a good night for me. But
dang.
Yeah. That's more you made on the tour.
No, I don't know.
That's awesome.
We got paid pretty well
for the
tour, as far as I remember. Yeah. But, yeah, I remember, like, getting the – because I got 10 of them. And, like, you know, like, when they roll it up with the – they have that band around it. Like I never had that before. Like $10,000 with the band around it.
Yeah. Like, you walk around like it's a big old cell phone.
No, I like. Yeah, I put that.
Speaking of that, Sergi's been here skating recently.
I know.
No way. Yeah.
Full Huck Jam reunion.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, that is cool.
Yeah. I mean, that was 20 years ago. We're all still doing it.
Yeah.
And that's that ramp.
Yeah.
That's why I bought my warehouse.
That was a good investment.
Train
because
or
the
like
ramp
choreographed.
Was only ever up during the tour.
Sure.
And at some point I said, we have the best vert ramp in existence, but we only get to skate it when it's on the road. Like we have to put it up.
Yeah.
Sure.
And now that's why we have this place.
Wow.
Way to go,
amazing.
Tony.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
and you did a 540 recently.
Yeah.
Right?
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, that felt real good. Because I haven't been keeping up to date like you have.
Yeah.
Me just cruising around doing airs is a lot harder than it used to be. So a 540 was pretty far out of the
realm. That's so good.
Are you still spinning them?
I haven't done one in a while, so I got to get it. Yeah, there it is. They're putting it up on the screen.
He always had the best, like, super fast spin.
Yeah.
Where you're eyeing the landing.
And he flips, too.
Yeah, but you're eyeing the landing way before anyone else.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Where it just looked like you have all, the 540 all happens in the very first spin, and then you're like, all right, where am I going to go? Where am I landing? Oh, right there. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe that's
good
why
one.
I'm not doing them that much anymore, because it's like they, I don't know, maybe, no, not spot, older, maybe I'm not spotting the landing, and it's
the slam that you don't want to take.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I was thinking the whole time. I'm like, this, yeah. If I felt like I could get away with it, but I'm like, I'll give myself a 50-50, and I'm like, a 50-50 at 50 is not a good equation. Like,
yeah.
You want to feel safe on it.
Do you feel like you have to do that for the Olympics? Were you doing them on that last small
Olympics,
stuff?
Last Olympics, I was trying to get them back, but it didn't really work out.
I feel like you were always a pressure 540 guy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you're like, when
exactly.
I need to.
Yeah, do not it. Doing yeah, it in yeah, practice. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, it's just one of those things you gotta keep doing it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not doing it for a little bit, then yeah, you.
Yeah, that didn't happen overnight, Rune.
Right.
I span hundreds of them. I was like, for one time in a demo, I spam one, and I was like, I saw the landing.
Yeah.
And I was like, all the other ones, I'm like, and I'd knee slide and go, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
But that day, I was like, I saw it. Yeah. And then I remember when I was good that I would see it, and then I could roll away.
Sure,
and I was like, I could see it again. And then I was like, you might as well go.
I think for me, it's like, just like keeping the feet on the board good. Like, but I've never really been like a person that would just like kind of really just go for it, like only in those, like what you're saying, like the pressure situations. But like most like tricks, like when I'm filming or skating or anything, I like to be pretty certain that I'm rolling away if I'm trying to do something, you know, which
no
is probably not an advantage when you're like, you know, like if you're filming, like sometimes you gotta just punk it and do something, you know what I mean, which has happened of course in my career. But for the most part, I feel like I don't like slamming, really.
No, but you do always look solid. So yeah, that thanks. I think that tracks, the fact that you say, I know I got to have it every time you landing. It's like off, you know, and you're not wobbling or looping out or anything.
Right,
so
yeah,
it has benefited you well.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Well, Rune, thanks for coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
I know you're doubling up. You did 9 Club, but we'll hold this and make sure there's enough separation.
Can you guys wait out there? Are you good? Are you
no,
good?
It's fine. Do you feel like you were talking about the exact same stuff?
There's a couple of subjects that was got lapped over a little bit, but I try to come up with different variations of you know.
Thank you.
Wait, didn't you? I watched one of these the other day, and you were saying what was it? You were saying like that you always get answered the same, asked the same question,
I try to make
and then
it sound
you have
fresh.
Like different, you have all these different variations of the same answer.
Of the same answer, yeah exactly. Yeah, it'll be worrisome if you start giving a different answer.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Then it's like,
then the credibility goes out
the window. Yeah, you're no longer genuine. Yeah. All right, Rune, we appreciate it.
Yeah, it
keep
fun.
Ripping. Good luck in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Qualifying. I know you're qualifying. Thanks. But we're rooting for you.
Yeah.
I was hyped to see you in Tokyo.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a great day. That was a lot of fun out there.
All right, that's
sweet.
It.
Sweet. Cool.
I can describe.
It's say, you know, do your Danish.
Yeah.
Well, you only have the hello, so.
Well, I don't know how to say goodbye. How do you say goodbye?
Just
try it.
Yeah. If you say Sina.
Say Sina.
Say Sina.